We're doing the stories of the Talmud, and we were in the Gemara in Gittin. We had just finished all the difficult stories of the time of the destruction of the temple. And the last story we had seen had been the story of Chana and her seven sons, the seven children who were told by the Romans to convert, and they, even though they were very young, the youngest one was a baby, they each refused and they argued with the Romans, and the Romans executed them one by one until Chana lost all of her seven children. And the Gemara had quoted a verse, the pasuk that says in Tehillim, "Ki alecha oragnu kol hayom," God, we've been executed upon you all day. "Nechshamnu ketzon tivcha," we were equated with the sheep that are taken to slaughter. And the Gemara quoted that verse about Chana and her seven children, that they gave up their lives and were not willing to turn on the Jewish faith. And then the Gemara brings an opinion that this is a reference to the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The mitzvah of performing a circumcision is a mitzvah which sometimes can endanger a child. Later tonight we might even quote a story of that in our intro to Machon class tonight. But sometimes a Bris Milah can go wrong. That's really? Why it's you never know. I mean, Baruch Hashem, you have thousands of children each day that have a circumcision and they're fine, but we all know that sometimes it doesn't go fine. You never know. We pray for the child and we consider him a child that needs our healing. And especially if you think about going back 50, 100 years, 200 years, then it was even more dangerous. They didn't have modern medicine. So the Gemara says that verse, that God, we've been executed for you all day, we're like sheep that are taken to slaughter, that can refer to the Bris Milah. And now Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, says this is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, to the rabbis, that when they teach their students the laws of how you perform a kosher slaughtering, Shemar'im Hilchot Shechita Be'atzman, they take their hand and they place it across their neck and they show on themselves how you do Shechita. So they're not taking the knife literally and slicing their neck, but they're taking their hand and showing the laws of slaughtering on their own neck. And the Amar Rava, that Rava taught, kol mili, anything, lechze inish binafshe, let a person show on himself. Want to show a person how you stand on your head? Stand on your head, no problem. Everything you should demonstrate hands-on education. Except for bal mishchita v'davar acher, except for shchita, and afflictions, davar acher, which is a reference to tzaras, the white blemishes. Now, what's so terrible about these two things that our sages said, don't demonstrate on yourself? So we have a rule that asul le'adam niftoach pe la'satan. A person should never open his mouth to Satan. A person should never say, if I were to die, if I were to A, B, or C. Never say that, or never say it to someone else. If you were to this, if you were to that. Anything that's bad, we say, don't even say, if it were to happen. Because when you say, if it were to happen, in heaven they contemplate it. That's called opening the mouth for the Satan. Satan says, you see, he suggested it. God, what do you think about it? So even though up until now in heaven, they might not have considered doing this to a person. But when a person says, if this were to happen, so we say that God gave us sanctity in our lips. We know neshama, our soul speaks. The holiest thing we have is speech. It's the one action which we can perform that is not visible. We consider speech as spiritual. And in heavens, they're listening. So our sages always instructed us to be careful with what we say. So our sages said we shouldn't even say something. When you're saying, you're not even doing an action. We know that there are levels in bringing things to the world. In order for something to happen in the world, first someone has to think it. Then someone says it. Then someone does an action. And then after that action, it can happen. And that action doesn't always have to be directly attached. That's the idea on Rosh Hashanah by night. We say we should have a sweet year. We say it. We verbalize it. And we do an action. We dip an apple in honey. We eat the apple in honey. We dip challah in honey. We eat the challah in honey. We eat the pomegranates. We say we should have many merits like a pomegranate. We do actions. And those actions they're one step closer to bringing this into the world. So when a person takes his finger, a rabbi, and says, here's how you slaughter an animal. And he puts the finger to his neck and he goes like this and he starts showing them. You see, if you do like this too hard, that's not kosher. If you do it smoothly, so it's the sharpness of the knife that's cutting, that's how you do kosher. And when you do it, you can go back and forward so long as you don't have a blemish here in the knife, etc. He goes through all the laws of Shechita and he's showing it on his own neck. I'm not teaching you the laws of Shechita. I'm not showing it on my neck.
What's the word again for someone who slaughters animals?
Shochet is a person who slaughters animals. So the rabbis, they want to teach the Torah with all the details, and the students want to learn with all the details, so they show the shechita on their own necks, even though that's in essence opening the door for Satan to come and say, hey, it's not a bad idea, look, they're discussing it, why don't we have them die that way soon? And they're endangering themselves, so that's this verse, God, we've allowed ourselves to be killed for your sake all day, we're like sheep that go to slaughter. That's how Reish Lakish taught this. And this is interesting because on the one hand, the Gemara is negating. The Gemara is telling us these two laws should not be demonstrated on oneself. But on the other hand, by inference, we understand that everything else can be shown on oneself. I remember when I was in Rabbi Feinstein's class, so we were discussing, we were learning chulin, the laws of slaughtering an animal. And one of the laws is a discussion about when does an animal become disqualified? When you find that it's been gorged by another animal, so you have to worry that maybe the animal can't live, maybe the animal has certain illnesses, different reasons why we will disqualify this animal. It can no longer be a kosher animal. If it was attacked by an animal, and the Gemara discusses how, in what state do we find the animal that we assume that it bit itself, and what state do we find the animal that we assume it was bitten by something else. So the Gemara has this discussion, and then the Gemara says, okay, if you find the bite on its back, you know it didn't bite itself. So I remember we're sitting there in class, and you're sitting in front of Rabbi Feinstein, and he says, you figure the animal, if it wants to bite itself, what's it going to do? Ah! So I remember him opening his mouth, opening his jacket, and turning his head back. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, here's one of the biggest rabbis of our time, and he's not embarrassed to demonstrate on himself how an animal's biting this way, that way. And this Gemara is the basis for it, that the rabbis always demonstrated on themselves. They did whatever it took to get the students to understand, and they never said, well, this is beneath my dignity, or that's beneath my dignity. No! If the students need to understand, so we show them. I remember we once learned the Mishnah that discusses the waters that were used with the red heifer. So the Mishnah discusses what happens if certain animals drink from that water. Do they disqualify it? So the Gemara says if a cat drinks from that water, it disqualifies it because the cat always has its own saliva on its whiskers because it's always licking its whiskers. So when it sticks its face into the water to drink from the water, it also leaves some of its own saliva from its whiskers in the water. So I remember as we're reading that Mishnah, Rabbi Feinstein says, guys, you know how cats always lick their whiskers, and he starts licking his mustache. So yeah, we all knew, but he figured if you demonstrate, the students remember, they understand better. That's this concept. The rabbis, wherever they could, they would demonstrate even on themselves so that the students understood exactly right, they remembered it, they understood it, and even in situations like the Gemara quoted, situations where they were endangering themselves, by demonstrating, nonetheless, to ensure the students got it right, they would demonstrate on themselves.